It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Good morning, Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland City.
Yeah, good morning, Mikey, and the sun shining over our city after a good dose of rain yesterday that watered my garden, so we should be all happy campers.
A little monsoon here, a little monsoon there, down they came.
Yeah, it's not too bad, though, guys. Just that I was at the tennis on Saturday, and they said for the first time in more than a decade, they'd had continuous 14 days.
I heard them mention that, actually.
So it's pretty good, actually. We've had a pretty good summer.
No complaints. Apart from my friend who was doing some outdoor mortaring yesterday, thinking it was going to be sunny, and then on. Phil, you're at the tennis, the ASB Classic?
Yeah, I see that's come under attack from the...
You brought it up, not me,
Well, because I think they're talking a load of crap.
Let's put people in the picture. $175,000 of ratepayers' money went towards the ASB Classic tennis event this year. The Auckland Ratepayers Alliance, I'm not sure who they all are, actually, but an outrageous use of ratepayers' money, they're saying. Whereas you folks are saying that's a worthwhile investment for an event that injects more than $2 million into the domestic economy. I can see why you do that, but it's the ASB Classic, and if it wasn't a bank that was making so much money every quarter, trillions and billions and quazillions of dollars, $175,000 seems like a lot, but it also seems like enough that the bank could cover themselves, don't you think?
Because all the other events that are mentioned,
things like WOMAD, the Auckland Land and Pacifica.
But it's not called the BNZ Pacifica Festival, is it? No, and it's called the ASB Tennis because they put the predominant amount of funding into it. But let's get a couple of facts straight and on the table. First of all, half of that sum is now paid directly by the visitors to Auckland through the accommodation targeted rate levy. That's why I brought it in a couple of years ago. I think the Ratepayers Alliance opposed it at the time. But what it means is that visitors to the city are in effect paying half the price of marketing the city to the world. So we pick up about 13 or 14 million from the accommodation provided targeted rate, which is passed on to visitors. Secondly, what does it do for us? It generates immediate expenditure of around $2 million, over 13,000 visitor nights. It showcases Auckland to the world. That's broadcast into 11 international markets and 88 million people. It's great. Aucklanders love it. They go along to it. They watch it on TV. For a small investment, over the years, we've been part funding this since 2010. Over the year, for every dollar we invest, $12 is actually spent in the Auckland economy. And now for every dollar we invest, half of that is paid for by the visitors themselves. So, you know, we could have a dull city where nothing much happened. We could fail to promote Auckland to the world and not have tourism as the major industry and major employer, which it is in our city. But nobody thinks that's very sensible. These guys have got to stop whinging and whining and look at the other side of the ledger. Look at the benefits we get for the very small investment we make.
But it is a very small investment. Why can't ASB cover that? Would it not happen if you didn't invest that $175,000?
Yeah, well, look, the chances are if we weren't a participant in these sort of events, they wouldn't happen. We get sponsorship for some of the other events as well. When the sponsor takes the title of the event, that means that they put the predominant amount of money into it. I don't know how much the ASB...
I understand that, but I sort of think at the same time as, you know, they take the title of it, and that when it's such a success, I mean, there's barely a spare seat in that event, and it's got full TV coverage, all this sort of stuff. It needs a hand up, and so from now on, sort of eternally, they're going to be asking for money. It's like, yeah. it's, we're, no, whereas no, but look, at one stage they have to stick up for themselves as an event, yeah. don't they?
I'll give you an example of what we do. We put a small amount of money in to leverage a much larger contribution. For example, when we lit up the Harbour Bridge, instead of paying...
It's not cool, by the way. I saw that in the weekend, actually.
Yeah, it looks bloody good, doesn't it? We put in about... Oh, God, I think it's only about... Maybe it's about 10% of the money, and Vector puts in the rest.
Yeah, but that's a different situation okay, because yeah, no one's paying to go to see... No, yeah, that's not an earner. That's an attraction, as it were, isn't it?
The principle I'm talking about. Yeah. The same with the splash pads at Stanmore Bay or at Lloyd Ellsmore Park. They're called the ANZ splash pads because we put in about 10% and they put in the bulk of it. So what we try to do is build up partnership with organisations. So we put in some seeding fund and they come to the party with the majority of the money. And if we can do that more and more, then obviously you're getting more and more private sector money being spent for the public good, and yeah. I'm all in favour of that.
So how do you say the way you describe it as seeding fund, which means so it's to grow into something, but they're going to be asking you for seeding fund every year.
Yeah, well, we have been contributing to that, but as I say...
Seeding, by the way, good tennis analogy, good tennis...
top seed. One of the benefits that, you know, you're obviously getting from the accommodation rate now is that, you know, half of the money actually doesn't come from the ratepayer at all, but comes from the beneficiary of the $2 million that the tennis gains. And, you know, there are over 13,000 bed nights, and of course the providers of the accommodation pass that on to the visitors. So what we get is the visitors contributing half of the cost of the promotional efforts that ATEED is putting in. Now, I think that's a bloody good idea. Instead of everything going on the ratepayer, half of that cost now goes back to the beneficiaries, and the ultimate beneficiaries, I guess, are the visitors. It doesn't keep the visitors away, but it does help us meet those costs. And, you know, you want to go out and ask those councillors that voted against that why they think that the ratepayer should be paying 100% when the ratepayer is now sharing that cost equally with the beneficiaries of the marketing work that ATEED does.
I guess I was equating it to when I was making television, and I'm not sure if it's still the same now, but when New Zealand On Air sort of really started doing its thing, and, you know, the idea was that every year you give these new productions a percentage of, you know, of their production costs to help them out, sort of thing, or a total production cost to help them out, and, you know, over time they'll end up covering their own, you know, they'll pay for themselves. But what actually ended up happening is people would just tinker the system, so the shows would always look like they were just starting up, or there'd be a whole new version of it, and so people would be able to go back and get that funding every year. So it's just a continual drain. But anyway, but I do see your point.
And, you know, it's a bit like the government puts in a big screen film production subsidy, and like them giving money to Warner Brothers, that are a big multinational corporation, not particularly, but, you know, for every dollar they put in, they get it directly back, of course, in the GST and the income tax that's paid on the value of the movies being made in New Zealand. And then when you get something like Lord of the Rings, of course, you get that promotional impact internationally. So, look, a purist would say there's no room for government, local or central, ever putting any money into these events, and I think you've got to be really careful about what...
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, does it just go on eternally from now on, as the event continues, does that go on?
As long as we get a better return than the money that we're putting in, get a big return on it, then it's worthwhile.
Okay. Next question, small one. Why don't you scrap Auckland's public transport fares? We've talked about this before. I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, this is a good idea. This is an idea that if it takes hold, and you're going to have to convince a lot of people. You're going to have to convince a lot of people with a lot of interest in other areas.
Yeah. Look, we will always look at whether a business case would justify providing extra support. At the moment, we pay just under half of the fare of using public transport. That is a subsidy from the ratepayer and the taxpayer. And I think that splits about right. What we would have to do, of course, if we scrapped all the fares, is we'd have to come up with another, you know, couple of $100 million, and we don't have that sort of money.
But it doesn't. We talked before about how what they would mean, and I think you told me that what they would mean would that you'd have to spend less money on roading. But surely you would have to spend less money on roading if more people use public transport anyway.
But look, I mean...
Well, you could spend less money on roading.
At the same time, you know, a lot of people travelling by public transport are people on good income, people coming into the centre of the city, you know, if they're working in the...
But it's not, this isn't really an income-based thing, is it? This is more about getting people to use the system, because people don't.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that probably the ratepayers would object if we were paying 100% subsidy to people that were quite well off just because they use public transport. I mean, the best way...
I don't know if they would.
Hang on, let me finish this point. The best way to encourage people onto public transport is to make sure that we've got the capacity to provide a reliable, safe and comfortable trip on public transport. And to do that, we've got to invest money. To invest money, we've got to find that money somewhere. A lot of it comes out of our rate and taxpayer subsidies. But the beneficiary of the service, you know, I don't think that it's unfair that they contribute part of the cost themselves. You know, always nice to say, look, we'll provide something for nothing. But actually, you're not providing it for nothing. You're just saying to the person that's using it, they get it for nothing, but somebody else is paying for it.
How many other cities in the world would it have to be a success in for you to look at it again?
Well, I don't know many places around the world that provide free public transport. Can you rattle off a list of cities for me?
Luxembourg, the Estonian city of Tallinn, Paris.
Well, Paris isn't. Jeez,
Paris just announced free public transport travel for under 11s from September.
Under 11s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, come on, then. Let's go.
Any time that I've been on the metro, I've paid for it. Look. I think you've got so much money to go around and you've got to say, look, do we want more people on public transport? Yes. Is the best way of getting more people on public transport simply to cut the fares for some groups? Or is it far better actually to invest in a public transport system that people want to use? Now, I'll just give you an example. What we've done, you know, we've talked about this, I think, on air before. We had a hell of a lot of problems with fare evasions. People not paying the fare, and the people not paying their fares when they got on were often, well, you know, a high percentage of the hooligans that were causing trouble on it were people that were fare evaders. We've now got a system where we've got train managers on the trains, we've got gates on many of the stations, we've cut fare evasions from 6% down to 1%, and guess what? The extra money that's going into that is money that's then available to improve the quality of the service, make it safer, make it more frequent, make it more reliable, and pay for massive projects like the City Rail Link that's costing us an arm and a leg.
Phil Goff, you have been given the go-ahead, the endorsement of the Labor Party for the 2009 Auckland Mayoralty.
For 2009, they're a bit late.
Yeah, but that's good. You must be excited about that.
Well, I haven't yet announced that I'm running as a candidate, but it's very generous of them.
Would you like to announce it right now?
No, not yet.
Would you like to announce that on the Breakfast Show on BFM right now? Here's your opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff.
I will make that big announcement at the point that I've made my final decision, which probably will be sometime over the next month or so.
All right, then, let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. There is a roving bunch of what have been described as Irish tourists. Now, I don't want you to be prejudiced or racist.
What a bunch of arseholes. Public-spirited language. But
some people might not know what's going on here, Phil, so let's describe a group who have been going around bullying, refusing to pay for the food in restaurants, basically just being unruly and disgusting. As the mayor of Auckland, these are your beaches, these are your restaurants, these are your ratepayers. What sort of trap do you use to trap a family of roving tourists? Like a tiger trap?
Yeah.
That you put flax over the top?
These guys are trash. They're not just leaving.
I reckon the hunt's on. First one to bring in three of the members of the family to the council or something.
What I asked yesterday, as soon as I saw that story, I asked for council to follow up so that we should. The penalties we ought to follow up.
Penalties. It's not about penalties. Did you watch the thing on the news in the weekend about the stoats on Great Barrier Island?
Yeah.
They've traps. It's traps. We need traps.
I'm talking about the Irish tourists. Are you talking about the Stoats?
No, I'm talking about the group who refused to pay for their food in the restaurant and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the same people.
It doesn't matter what country they're from, I'm just saying.
I'm married to a Moriarty, so I've got a particular liking for the Irish. But I don't have a liking for these sort of people that come here. I just saw what they did on Takapuna Beach.
Gross, eh?
So they sat down there and they drank their beer, they threw their bottles on the ground, they ate their lunch, they threw their wrapping papers across the ground. We know who those people are now. I've asked council to follow up because I want to see them loaded with an infringement fine for trashing our country. They shouldn't even be here. They actually, the police, if they've got the opportunity, should have them for fraud. Look, if you say one time I found a hare or I found an ant in my meal, you believe it, but they find it every meal that they have as a way of evading payment. That's fraud. That's a criminal activity. I'd love to see the police prosecute them, but in the meantime, we'll do what we can to follow up and get them on the infringement fines for littering, because they should be paying a fine for that. The people are behaving worse than pigs, and actually, I'd like to see them out of the country.
Thank you, Phil.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Okay, speak to you again next week.
Okay, catch you later. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.